Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 and add verse 7. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 and verse 7. Okay. Now, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, let him that is taught in the word. Everybody say, taught in the word. Say, taught in the word. The reason is there are other kinds of teaching. Do you see? But the Bible is talking about people who are taught the word of God. Sam, how are you doing? Okay. All right. Now, let him that is taught in the word, taught in the word, right? So, right there, we can see that there are different kinds of teaching. You can be taught how to cook, right? You can be taught how to drive. You can be taught how to swim, right? You can be taught how to dance, isn't it? Especially those who don't naturally come with it. You get it, yeah. Dancing is like an extra feature that, you know how sometimes cars come with some standard features, yeah. So an ability to eat and sleep and so on, those are standard features. But an ability to dance, those are optional features and takes a little more grace, that's right, to be able to do those kinds of things. That's why not everybody can do them. You know, the other day I saw, they were showing us, it was actually a video on CNN, and I think Donald Trump had gone to some church, and they were playing some music, and he tried to dance. So I was just watching his dancing for a little bit. And you see, he even stopped. Because I think he began to sense that if you dance beyond this point, just as the whole movement was beginning to get confused, then he paused. You know, so dancing is also something that has to be taught to you. Yeah. And those who are able to do it naturally, you're blessed. Don't take it for granted. Amen. Right. So, let him that is taught. We're saying that you can be taught so many things. But one of the things that you must be taught is the word of God. Amen. Now, anything you are taught means you don't know it naturally. Means it doesn't come to you on its own. That someone has to transfer it to you. Hallelujah. And then it says, taught in the word. So the word of God must be taught. Amen. Teaching the word of God is important. God wants his word to be taught to his people. Amen. And I see you becoming one of those teachers of the word of God as you advance in your knowledge of God. Amen. Right. Now, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Amen. Now, that word communicate, you know, doesn't mean, I mean, that part of the verse is not saying he should communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. That means get on the phone and tell him every good thing. Do you understand? That's not what he's saying. This communication is not verbal. It's not conversational. But what the verse is saying, or that word means, is to share. Hallelujah. It is an old word that means to share. You must share with the person who teaches you in all good things. Amen. Says you must share. Let a person who is taught must share with the person who is teaching him in all good things. Hallelujah. And then the next verse that follows says, you know, don't be deceived. Do you see? God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. So then it appears that this verse following the previous one seems to suggest that what we are being told to do in the previous verse is actually a kind of investment. Because it is saying that you are going to sow something. He says, when you sow, you reap. So in sharing with the person who teaches you, you're actually making an investment towards your future and towards the things that will accrue to your credit. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, my message is simply this. Why is there such a verse in the Bible? Why does God want us to do such a thing? Hallelujah. Why is God telling us to share with him that teacheth in all good things? Hallelujah. That means it is okay to be a blessing to the person who teaches you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. You must be a blessing. And he says, don't be deceived. Right? Whatsoever a man sows, he reaps it. Do you get it? Yeah. And so, if somebody has taught you and you do not share with the person, you know, then he says, don't be deceived. But that is something you are sowing and you also reap it. Hallelujah. Right. So, I'm going to give you just three quick reasons why this verse is in the Bible or why we are encouraged to practice such a thing. Right. Now, the first one is simply because teaching is valuable. Hallelujah. Now, this verse implies that teaching is valuable. So, three implications of this verse, if you like. That's another way to call my to title my message. It says, teaching is valuable. Hallelujah. God wants us to value teaching. Amen. God wants us to value and to respect teaching. Teaching is valuable because it is the medium by which knowledge is transferred. Hallelujah. That is the reason why anywhere there's teaching, there is also tuition. Fees. Have you noticed that? There's always tuition fees, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah. Do you see? Yeah, there's always fees. There's something they call school fees. Right? Yeah. Tuition, and it's not cheap. How many realize that tuition is not cheap? Sometimes long after people have finished school, even when they have forgotten the name of the school they attended and have forgotten what they were taught even, they still owe. They still owe fees from what they were taught. Hallelujah. Teaching is valuable. Amen. And God wants us to respect teaching. Hallelujah. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, put it up real quick, and I'm almost finished with my message. Oh, Hosea, that's 4. 4 and 4. Verse 6. Right. Now look at this verse. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Can we just read the first part? You can read the whole verse. 1, 2, 3, go. My people are destroyed lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Wow. That's a scary verse. Right. But look at it. The Bible says, my people. Everybody say, my people. Which people do you think this verse is referring to? Which people? God's people, isn't it? God's people. He said, my people are destroyed. Now, that sounds like an oxymoron. Do you know what an oxymoron is? What is an oxymoron? Who knows it? Yeah? Huh? Two contradictory ideas placed side by side, isn't it? Yeah. Now, if you would have thought that if somebody was a child of God, then that person has essentially escaped destruction. Is it not the case? Huh? That a child of God has escaped destruction. But here, the scripture is saying, my people are destroyed. So God's people can be destroyed. Hallelujah. God's people can be destroyed. And the Bible is giving us the reason why and how does that happen. It says, for lack of knowledge. So you can be a child of God, but when you don't have knowledge, you can be destroyed and experience things that a child of God should not experience just because of what you don't know. Hallelujah. Because of what you don't know. Amen. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He says, because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest unto me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Wow. This knowledge must be very important. Hallelujah. Knowledge must be very important. And if knowledge is that important, then the person through whom the knowledge comes must be very, very important. One of the reasons why doctors are paying a lot of money is because being healthy is very important. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah, it's not because they spend longer hours at work. No. It's just because whatever they spend an hour doing is perceived to be of very high value, that a doctor's 1 hour at work is different from, let's say, a painter's 1 hour at work. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or a bus driver's 1 hour at work. Hallelujah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. Even though I think a bus driver's job probably comes with more risk. Yeah? All day he's at risk of being killed. All day. Do you understand? Yeah. But because the doctor helps, you know, people to remain healthy, and everybody's life really depends on how healthy they are. There's not much you can do if you're not healthy. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah? You can be very clever, you can be very gifted, you can have the brightest ideas, but if your health starts failing on you, then that's the end. That's what happened to Steve Jobs. I mean, a man full of bright ideas who could only, I mean, his ideas were just so brilliant. I mean, can you imagine that years after he's dead, I mean, and gone, I mean, his products are still revolutionary. Yesterday, I saw them queuing for an iPhone 7. So this thing has become a tradition. Get it? That every year in September, people must form lines to buy a new phone. You know, and the person who created all of that, brilliant ideas, full of great ideas, but failing health did not allow him to continue. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that makes the person who provides health for such a person very important. It makes, so he deserves to be paid very highly. So doctors earn a lot of money and nobody questions it. Because what they transfer into your life or help you to attain is very, very valuable. Hallelujah. So same thing. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It is not only ill health that, you know, causes you to be destroyed, but what you don't know also will destroy you. Hallelujah. And therefore, a person who transfers knowledge, a person whose job it is to help you to know something you don't know, must be very valuable. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you see, when you look around at countries, in countries where teachers are not valued, you see that the country doesn't do well. Any country, you think about any country where the teaching job, you see, a teaching job is not the most desirable job, where teachers are the lowest paid, you will find out that that country lacks in development, and they're not able to advance. No matter what they do, no matter how many loans they get, no matter how much foreign aid they get, and so on, because what it is that development is, a nation is developed, or as developed as the people in it. Do you understand? And the way you develop people is to give them knowledge. Do you understand? Now, if you don't respect the source of knowledge or the process of transferring knowledge, then you're going to leave the people undeveloped. And a bunch of undeveloped people in a country makes that nation an undeveloped nation. Are you following what I'm saying? Yeah? So that is what happened to you. And when a nation isn't like that, you cannot do much. I mean, if you put a street sign, nobody will read it. If you read it, nobody will do it. I mean, it's just so difficult to do anything. Do you get it? I mean, if you put a red light, I mean, it's just a color. I mean, it's just a colored bulb. If you get it, because, I mean, why should I stop? I mean, it's even dangerous to stop sometimes. You see what I'm saying? So you find out that that is what happens when you don't respect the teacher. Hallelujah. And we as a church don't want to fall into that situation. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That is why there's another verse, Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah. Are you following my teaching this morning? Yeah? Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, he says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall do what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. I will give you pastors according to my heart, who will do what? They will feed you. They will feed you. Notice the word that is used in connection with knowledge is feeding. Do you understand? Now, when you use the word feed, you are referring to a longer relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you say something feeds something, it means that this thing keeps going into this to keep this doing what it's supposed to do, be doing. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you go to factories especially, in factories you will have machines that sort of continue to do something. And that machine is fed by some raw material or something like that. You see, now we use the word feed because it's to sort of describe the regular nature of that relationship. Do you understand? Feeding is something that you do, you know, you eat food every day. And that's why, you're looking for the one who feeds you, means you're looking for the one who constantly gives you food. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, that's different from the person who you buy food from on one occasion. Hallelujah. The one who keeps... What do you think is the difference between... What do you think is the difference between, let's say, the parent who gives you money, you know, who provides money for lunch every day, and let's say the McDonald's or Burger King place where you actually buy the lunch? Which of them is your feeder? The parent? Why the parent? Because of the constant supply, isn't it? Yeah, but the Burger King place, it can be Burger King today, it can be McDonald's today, it can be something else, Taco Bell tomorrow. I mean, it can be anything. Even though they provide the food, they are not your feeder. Hallelujah. So you see, the Bible says, I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. I mean, your life depends so much on having knowledge that God says you need someone who ensures a constant supply of that in your life. Hallelujah. That is why God gives you pastors. He says, I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Can I have an amen? So I'm saying that teaching is valuable. Teaching is precious. If you're born in and you're going through this life without a teacher, you know, without someone who helps you to teach you the things you don't know. When someone is born, like these little girls, you know, you don't know anything. They have to be taught. You have to be taught what your name is. You have to be taught how to spell it. Huh? Yeah, you have to be taught how to spell it. You have to be taught how to dress up. You have to be taught where to go when it's coming. Yeah, when you feel a certain feeling, you have to be taught. Somebody has to teach you where to go. That is, you don't take this to the kitchen. No. When you start to feel this way, this is not for the kitchen. It's this way, upstairs. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. When you take this diaper off, no. I mean, it's bulky, but not for the dining table. This is not going to the dining table. This must go to the trash. Somebody has to teach you. Hallelujah. So you will see that even in a sense, everybody's life reflects how much teaching you have received. Yeah, the quality of life you live depends largely on how much teaching you have received. Hallelujah. That is the reason why you see, as people get more and more educated, their lives change. Your life just changes. The more education you have, you see that your life just starts to change in a certain way. Hallelujah. I encourage everyone to get as much education as you can get, because teaching makes that difference. Hallelujah. But in the church, often the teacher is not valuable. Amen? And one of the ways you show your value and respect for teaching is how you treat the teacher. Can I have an amen? How you treat the teacher. Amen? How you treat the teacher reflects the value you place on teaching. Can I have an amen? And that is why in our church, we have identified clearly who our teacher is. Bring that verse again, because Galatians 6 and 6, you see that the verse is featuring two people. One of them is him that is taught, and the other one is him that teacheth. Hallelujah. It's not just him that is taught. You can't just be the one who is taught and just be happy with that. You need to also pay attention to him that teacheth. And the Bible says your relationship towards him that teacheth must reflect some good things. Good things must pass on from you to him that teacheth. Can I have an amen? Good things must pass on from you to him that teacheth. Say amen. Now, we have a church where we have a teacher. Our pastor is our teacher. Amen. Our pastor is our teacher. We have so many books in the church. We have so many messages in the church. We have our podcast. We have so many camps, so many videos, so many different things that God has given us through this one teacher. And so every year at this time, we choose to set time aside to acknowledge this teacher. Can I have an amen? To acknowledge the teacher and to recognize his contribution to our lives. Can I have an amen? Right? The Bible says we must share all good things with him. Every good thing he deserves, every good thing in your life, especially the good things that come to you through what you have learned from him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. The good things that come to you through the things you have learned from him. But when you look at this, you will start to realize that not all good things are actually transferable. For example, one of the good things that you may be enjoying having come from your teacher is a good marriage. How are you going to share that with him? Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah? Or maybe you listen to a message and you decided, listen, I'm going to take my schoolwork seriously. And so you have taken it seriously. Your grades have improved. Instead of getting D's, you are now getting A's. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Now, how are you going to share that? Hallelujah. How are you going to share your A's? Maybe you take a B or a C so he can have a B or C too. No, that's not going to work. Hallelujah. That is why we give gifts. That's why we give financial gifts. That's why we give money. Because money is the only thing that becomes everything. Money is the only thing that can represent everything. Isn't it? Yeah, that's why we give it in the form of money. Say amen. All right, let me give you one more point. I promised you three of them. Number two reason why we have Galatians 6:6, or the second implication of Galatians 6:6, is that we must render to people, or we must give people what is their due. Amen. We must give to people what is their due. Now, Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7. Have you found Romans? It says, render therefore to all their due. Render therefore to all their due. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. Amen. So, right here, we are also seeing that different people, depending on their role in your life, are due different things. Isn't it? Some people are due tribute. Others are due custom. There are some people, all they deserve from you is just fear. Yeah. Like the police, you're just supposed to be afraid of them. Hallelujah. You're supposed to be afraid of them. If you are at the stoplight and you're talking on your phone and a police officer pulls, you know, over just like next to you, pulls up next to you, you are supposed to drop the phone. You get it? You're supposed to wrap up the call and then drop the phone, isn't it? You're speeding, you're coming around the corner, and you're doing like 85 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone, or even 55, and you are flying. You know, there are moments when you feel like you're an eagle. Sometimes when you're driving, you feel eagle-ish. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, you feel like somehow you just got some wings. Yes. Especially when you're driving a rented car. I don't know, rental cars always bring temptations. Temptation for just testing it. Temptation for, you know, just checking it out. You know, is this the car you'd like to buy one day or something? You know, yeah. And if the rental car guy was good to you and gave you an upgrade, you know, gave you an upgrade, you see, yeah. And then once they make you pay for the insurance, then you sort of feel like, look, even if anything happens, all that needs to happen is that I must live. Do you see? Yeah. So as you're coming around the bend, then you just come approach the bend like that, and you're just doing 85, just flying through the bend like that. And then right as you come out of the bend, here is the police officer. Yeah. Immediately you just slow down. You are offering him what is his due. Fear to whom fear is due. Yeah. His presence must alter your behavior. Yeah. And the police don't like it. They don't like, you see, sometimes they don't even want to arrest you. What really gets to them is that his presence didn't seem to change anything about what you're doing. Yeah. Sometimes I don't know if you've ever been in that situation, but they seem to follow you for a while. And because of your modified behavior, they just forgive you. Yeah, and then suddenly he zooms past you. Yeah. I had a police officer once. I mean, I was flying. One of those eagle days. You know, I was just flying, and this police officer came behind me. I didn't even see him. And then after he had been behind me for a while, he came to my side, you know, and that's when I saw him. So when he came to my side, I started to slow down. Then he said, yeah, slow down. I said, this man must be born again. The Holy Ghost was in him. He was full of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. What? Meekness, temperance, gentleness. Oh, man, kindness. I couldn't believe it. The police officer, he was just asking, why? He said, slow down. And then he zoomed past me. See, he just wanted to let me know that, you know, number one, I'm flying. And number two, he has the power to change my flying skills. You see, but he wasn't going to do that. So now I have to slow down. Hallelujah. All they want is for you to show that you respect the authority they have and you modify your behavior because they are around. Hallelujah. So fear to whom fear is due. It says give everybody what is their due. Now, if you get into a habit of not giving people what is due them, then you set yourself up also not to receive what is due you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why the scripture says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you choose not to acknowledge somebody's role in your life, you're going to find out that when you have played a significant role in someone's life, or even in a place, sometimes even in a workplace, some people don't feel valued, you know, at their workplace, even though they do all the work. They feel that a lot that goes on around here depends on me, but no one seems to notice it. And while the reasons may be because you also choose not to notice someone's contribution to who you have become, to who you are, to who you are becoming. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is why that verse is immediately, because he knows that when there is teaching and there is a teacher, you are likely to take the teaching and skip the teacher. Hallelujah. You are likely to embrace the teaching and ignore the teacher and make him not matter. Hallelujah. And that is why God says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Hallelujah. Let me throw in one more verse. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Luke chapter 16 and verse 12. Luke 16 and verse 12, the Bible says, and if, can we read it together? Everybody, one, two, three, go. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is, wow. You know, read it again. Read it again. One, two, three, go. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Hallelujah. So right there you can see that just because it's your own doesn't mean you have it. There's some things that belong to you. You just don't have them yet. Do you understand? And of course, if they have to be given to you, then it means you don't have them. Isn't it? Yes. So God has also arranged life such that some things that belong to you, some things that have accrued to your account, you know, everything you do for the Lord accrues a blessing to your account. Yeah. Your prayers, your giving, you see, your kindness towards others makes you deserve the same things from others. God also sets you up to be blessed. When someone says, God will bless you, God will bless you, God will bless you, often it means that God is going to use someone to also do something for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yes. So most of the time when God blesses people, it's not because they actually see God or that God came to their house. Do you understand? Or someone gave them an envelope and signed, God. That's not what happens. But God uses someone, isn't it? Yeah, God uses someone to open a door that has been closed. God uses someone to employ you. Someone to decide that you deserve more pay than you're receiving. Someone to decide it's about time you're promoted. Someone to decide to let you off something that, you know, could have got you a lot of trouble. Even a police officer deciding, like, what happened to me? I mean, that could have given me, look, once I got a ticket, how much, I think it was the most expensive ticket I received yet. The ticket was $580. Yeah. But I've seen some people who receive $1,000 ticket. Yeah. The worst one is when they ask you to come to court. I mean, you're driving through a state. You don't live there. You see? And then the police officer says, no, not a fine. You have to come to court. So they give you a court date, and you're supposed to travel back to that state to attend court. Hey, it's not easy. Yeah. But anyway, for this $580 ticket, I went to court. You know, I put on my best clothes like everyone does when they're going to court. I put on a shirt, I put on a tie, you know, shaved clean, and just arrived at the court, spoke with my hand, you know, like that. And I made my best case. Then the judge said, I'm going to reduce the fine. The fine was $585. You know what the judge did? He reduced the fine to $500.85. Just move the decimal point. Just change the way it's written. Yeah. The original one was 58500. Then he transferred the zeros into the middle and make it 500.85. You know, and said, clear out of here. Amen. So you will also deserve things from people. Can I have an amen? And God has left it up to you to decide how you're treated by giving you the opportunity to do things for others also. So you really determine how you are treated by the way you treat others. Are you getting it? The Bible says, if you have not been faithful or reliable or trustworthy, that when it comes to things that belong to others, you know, you don't care. You're just reckless with it. You just think that they don't deserve something. He says, who will give you that which is your own? That which is your own. Wow. So sometimes it is not that God didn't answer your prayer.
Do you understand?
God did answer your prayer. But who will give you that which is your own? Somebody else decides to be unfaithful in things that pertain to you, because you have not been faithful in things that pertain to another person. Hallelujah. Yeah. That is why we must respect our teacher and respect what our teacher is bringing into our lives. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right. Then the last reason why, or the last implication of Galatians 6:6, that verse, is that when you honor the teacher, you honor God himself. Now, remember that the verse said, let him that is taught in the word, isn't it? Let him that is taught in the word. Now, go quickly to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Can you see that? Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. Hallelujah. All nations shall flow into it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Say all nations shall flow into it. All nations shall flow into it. Yes. One of the characteristics of God's house is that all nations fit into it. Amen. Hallelujah. This church, we're going to have all nations flowing into it. Hallelujah. All right. Now, the next verse, verse 3. Right? And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Can you see that? Right? And then what does he say? And he will teach us, right, of his ways. And we will walk in his paths. Hallelujah. Right? He says he will teach us of his ways. God will teach us of his ways. God will teach us of his ways. So when you come to the house of God, the teaching you receive is actually God who is teaching you. Are you getting it? That is the reason why it works like magic. Yeah, that is how come it can transform your life. Isn't it? Yeah, that's how come someone can go to church and their lives actually do change. You can see that you have changed. You can see that your mind has changed about something. You can see that you have become a different person. You have become a better person. And often you like the new you. You prefer the new you to the old you. Is it not true? Yeah. The reason is because it is God himself who is teaching you. So in honoring the teacher and honoring the person that God has given to teach you, you are actually honoring God, because God is the one doing the teaching. Are you following what I'm sharing with you? Yes. God is the one. And therefore, despising the teacher is also despising God, because God is the one who is teaching you. Hallelujah. He says, he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Can I have an amen? God is teaching us himself. And when we honor the teacher that God uses, we are honoring God himself. And there's a reward for honoring God. When you honor God, God will honor you. When you lift God up, God will lift you up. When you bless God, God will bless you. Hallelujah. But when you despise and disregard God, I mean, you don't go very far. That's why the Bible says a fool says in his heart there's no God. When someone despises God, God calls him a fool. God says, you're a fool when you say there is no God. And the way you show there is no God is, you know, for example, if I didn't believe in the existence of the police, I think it will show in my actions. You will know. I don't have to say it with my mouth that I don't believe in the police. It will just show. It will show in the way I drive. It will show in how I conduct myself. It will just, you know, because I have no respect. I don't believe in the existence, and therefore you just see it in the especially in the way I drive. You see it very clearly that I have no regard for any kind of authority. Hallelujah. So God is showing us three things today. Number one is what? Teaching is valuable. Number two is what? You must render, or you write, we must give to people what is their due. Yeah. I think render is a little, I'm using render because that's what's in the Bible, but I think that generally you don't talk saying render, isn't it? Brother, can you render me some? Brother, can you render me your number? To render me your phone number. Right. Okay, so give, we must give to people what is their due. And then number three is what? When you honor the teacher, you honor God himself. Hallelujah. Next week, I'm going to teach you some more things about teaching and about Galatians 6:6. Amen. So I don't want you to miss next Sunday. Hallelujah. Which will be our last Sunday here. Right? So you must not miss next Sunday when we finish the service. We're going to take a special photograph just for the sake of yes, because the church is going to go into a whole new gear and a whole new dimension when we go to our new place. Hallelujah. And it's right off the freeway. You don't have to get off the freeway and maneuver and just turn left, turn right. Now, it's not a lot of that. Just about two turns and you're at the place. Amen. So you're going to like this place. I think you really will like the place. I can see you all fitting there, and it will be a blessing for all of us. Amen. And it will be closer to more people, and more people will be able to come. Amen. All right, stand to your feet and let us bring the service to a close. Are you blessed this morning? Have you learned something you didn't know before? All right. Now let's pray. Bow your heads, everybody, and let us. Just bow your heads, everyone, and just pray. And thank God today. Just take a moment to thank God for what you have learned. You must be grateful for teaching. Be grateful to God for the things you have learned. Without teaching, our lives will be really miserable. Without teaching, many things would be very different for us. Without teaching, our wrong thinking would destroy our lives. But God has rescued us from ourselves by providing teaching for us. So I want you to pray and thank God for the teaching you have received since you started coming to this church. Thank God for the knowledge that has come to you. Thank God for the new things you have learned, the books you have read, the messages you have heard, the videos you have watched, the camps you have attended, all the teaching that you have received, which have delivered you from destruction. It will be a spiritual event for us. Because it is a destiny deciding occasion. And we pray that we will not take it for granted, not despise it. Help us to respect it, that we may benefit from it. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name.